How are Marion County officials and healthcare providers preparing for the likely arrival of the COVID-19 coronavirus? Welcome to a KNIA KRLS Special Edition News Magazine, Preparing for COVID-19 in Marion County. I'm Bob Leonard. Joining me today are staff with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Pella Regional Health Center, and Marion County. Representing the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics are Kevin Kincaid, CEO, Maggie Hamilton Beyer, CFO, Barb Anderson, Manager of Infection Prevention, Jan Myers, Chief Nursing Officer, and Holly Shin, Clinic Care Coordinator. Representing the Pella Regional Health Center are Bob Cruz, CEO, and Jen Widener, Infection Preventionist. For Marion County, Kim Dorn, Director of Public Health, Jeff Anderson, Emergency Management Coordinator, and Mark Ramey, Chair of the Board of Supervisors. Kevin, you're hosting a very interesting meeting here today with a lot of different people. Public health people, administrators, experts. What's happening?
Obviously, we're interested in getting out accurate information about the COVID-19 virus that the country is facing. And from a county perspective, we felt it was important to bring together all the experts in the healthcare identities, entities that folks may go to make sure that we have a consistent message that gets the right information out and to ensure that folks feel well informed.
Well, and you must agree, Bob.
That was really hard to argue, and I think that was very well said.
And Kevin, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, and Bob Cruz, CEO of the Pella Regional Health Center. And so you're all on the same page, and we've got staff here, because we're facing something we haven't really faced, right. And we're facing a unique challenge.
This is unique for us, just based on a lot of the uncertainty that people are feeling across the not only our county, but the state and the entire country. But one of the things that we would want to share with the listeners is that this is a new virus that we're learning more about each and every day. We deal with viruses every day. We deal with contagious diseases every day. So we're well positioned and well prepared to take care of what's thrown at us, but we have to be able to be flexible and change as the conditions change. And so that's why we're pulled here together to share what those changes are.
Well, these kinds of things, Jen and Barb, this is what you deal with. This is your training. What does it mean for you, the coronavirus, and what does it mean for us as potential patients?
Thinking about it, we always receive training in regards to outbreak situations, what's affecting the public, and how that's going to affect the care that we're able to provide for these patients. And so per our training, just really being able to support and educate the public in what they can be doing within their homes, when they can be coming to the hospital and our clinics to be seeking care, and just helping them understand what we can do for them as well. And just having that consistent message across the board, not only at the clinics and the hospitals, but also at the public and state health level as well.
All these components of working with the public health department, the local public health department, using our testing capabilities at the state hygienic laboratory, these are all routine things for us already. We already have communication with these groups. We already have normal operating processes with these persons. We know them on a first name basis. And so this is stuff we do every day.
And you mentioned public health, so I'm gonna let Kim, Director of Public Health, come in here on this.
Thank you. Public health has already been meeting with businesses and the college, hospitals, school districts, EMS, it's a variety of partners. Our preparedness plan kind of outlines how we move forward, and it's really just tinkering with it to work within the nuances of the novel the novel virus. And so we have all of our established relationships, and it's a little bit like what I told my staff when we were working on spinning up what we were doing is that it's the same thing we do all the time, it's just more of it. And then working with the unknowns, because there are a lot of unknowns with a novel virus, and so we just kind of have to to figure some of those things out as we go.
How does the reporting process go with respect to if there is a patient with the coronavirus, COVID-19, what happens? What's the procedure?
So if we've identified somebody that has hit all the screening criteria, which IDPH has helped outline through the questions in regards to what are the signs and symptoms, travel history is a very big piece of that, especially internationally. CDC has that posted on their website of the level 3 that we are to be monitoring. And then also if they have come into contact with a COVID-19 known patient and they are coming in, if they've answered 2 out of those 3 questions yes, they will be then done a secondary screening to evaluate for testing that goes to state hygienic lab or our reference labs. Along with that, then the providers evaluate if the patient can be managed at home or if they need to be admitted into the hospital. And so the care plans then transition in regards to those, helping the patients understand what they can do at home for themselves with self-quarantine that has been clarified by Iowa Department of Public Health, and local public health helps with that. Along with then in the hospital, we would be putting them under what's considered droplet in contact precautions and then supportive therapies from there depending on what their needs are.
The processes that she's talking about also include things of, well, we hear the words of called quarantining and isolation precautions. Now, those are things that we're used to using all the time, every day. It's like firemen have their protective equipment that they can handle to do their job, and people that work in a hospital have equipment to be able to work with infectious people. And so we understand airborne and contact and droplet precautions. We have a personal protective equipment and gear that we use in those situations, and we already have it in place, and everybody who works here has already been trained in how to use it. And so this is normal processes that we understand.
Nurses and all frontline staff, so your patient care techs, your nursing assistants, lab techs, radiology techs, everybody that's having hands-on contact with the patient are really key to the communication. So those frontline people spend oodles more time with the patient and family than the physician does, the provider does. So a lot of what we've been doing is just getting good communication to the frontline staff so they communicate facts to the patients and visitors about what's going on. They're also very key at recognizing the change in a patient to let everyone know this patient may need to be screened further for the virus.
And Holly?
I agree with that. On the clinic side of things, we do a lot more with just screening of the patients and making sure we have them come to the appropriate place, whether it be the clinic, to the ER, or just to the mid-surg floor.
Does the first screening begin with me, where I just don't show up at the hospital?
Right.
At the clinic. I just don't show up. I'm sick. I've got the flu. I don't want to come to the emergency room, do I? Isn't that the first screen that we have to really stress, is the person and their family?
Yes. We're encouraging patients or anyone who has symptoms, has travel, and is concerned to give us a call, and we will do the screening over the phone. And then guide them where to go from there.
And so it's as simple as, Bob, have you been traveling? You know, what's your symptoms? It's that simple?
Yes, there's 3 questions, and if you answer 2 of the 3 as a positive or a yes answer, then we will guide you with further directions.
Then the 3 questions are?
Are you having any fever of 100.4 or greater? Cough, shortness of breath? There's a level 3 countries that we have listed, but we're asking patients, have you traveled outside of the country? And then just referring to a list of countries that we have listed. And then the 3rd question is if you've had any exposure directly to a patient who has laboratory confirmation of COVID-19.
And that's probably pretty clear that I'm somebody that you're going to want to test if I've had exposure to a person with COVID-19?
Well, we're going to bring you in for further screening.
How do I come in? I'm sort of worried about that. If I've got it, I don't want to contaminate everybody around me. I don't want to contaminate the nurse. What do I do? I'm not going to just walk through the door, am I?
No, we don't want you to walk through the door. We're going to have you drive to the clinic. We're going to have you call us when you get here. And you're going to have a nurse come out in her protective gear, and she will take you in through a special entrance into a room.
There would be masks. The patient would be masked, and the staff person would be masked, and she would probably have her gloves and things on, and then escort you into a room that we'd be able to continue your examination in with your provider.
More after this. Welcome back to a KNIA CareOS Special Edition News Magazine, preparing for COVID-19 in Marion County. I'm Bob Leonard. As we continue the program, joining me today are staff with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Pella Regional Health Center, and Marion County. Representing Knoxville Hospital and Clinics are Kevin Kincaid, CEO, Maggie Hamilton Byers, CFO, Barb Anderson, Manager of Infection Prevention, Jan Myers, Chief Nursing Officer, and Holly Shin, Clinic Care Coordinator. Representing the Pella Regional Health Center are Bob Cruz, CEO, and Jen Widener, Infection Preventionist. For Marion County, Kim Dorn, Director of Public Health, Jeff Anderson, Emergency Management Coordinator, and Mark Ramey, Chair of the Board of Supervisors. So, Kevin, you wanted to make a point about testing. You wanted to tell us a little bit more about testing, what the test is.
Yeah, so I'll want to turn that over to our infection control experts, but we want to make sure that people understand when we use the term testing or when they hear these new terms that are being tossed around called like social distancing and what does that even mean? So
the testing process would just be a collection of swabs that they would do on your nares and in your throat. We have a special media that you place those swabs in, and we prepare a document and prepare those for a courier. Then they are picked up by the courier and taken immediately to the State Department of Health, to the State Hygienic Laboratory, and then they are going to perform that testing and call the results back to the provider. So we have easy access to the testing, and we have same-day couriers that are taking it immediately to the State Hygienic Laboratory.
Okay, so if I say to you, do you have tests or not? That's sort of missing the point. The tests aren't
right.
Here.
The
a lot of the
tests,
I'm used to tests being here or at Pella Regional,
right.
But they're not. But there's a courier.
Yes, there's a courier, and
okay.
They take them to the state laboratory that's performing the testing.
And what else happens?
So we're a dual reporting state, so electronically all of our labs are actually connected to Iowa Department of Public Health, so those results will automatically be sent to them through that. And then the state hygienic lab people will be also calling the facilities providers to be letting them know positive or negative, so therefore we can proceed in regards to the care of the patients.
Okay, now I know one of the reasons we're talking today is to get the information out, but that's absolutely critical. How's that happening, Bob?
Well, I think we have to use every kind of media that's available for the public because different people use different things. Obviously, the radio and newspaper work, but for some, with Facebook. And we have a website. We keep referring. We try to upgrade that website at Pella Regional on a regular basis. But any other type of media that any of us know about, we need to get it out there, and we need to get it out there frequently. And as updates are coming, which are frequent, that we keep it fresh. That we constantly are upgrading it as well.
And that we're getting information from sources that we know and trust.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And they're, you know, the state's been doing a great job. I mean, they're really trying to help us on this, and so.
Yeah, and Governor Reynolds is out there every day with a statement pretty much so far.
And we use the guidelines that the CDC talks about, that the Iowa Department of Public Health talks about.
Correct.
And so those are our go-to people.
Okay, and Jeff, there's some role for the county with this, I understand.
So we've opened a Joint Information Center, otherwise known as a JIC. What that allows for, Bob, is just a system where any of the participating partners who want to do any kind of messaging, they submit their messaging, their communications to the JIC coordinator, who is Rachel Garner at Marion County Public Health. Rachel will then circulate those communications to all of the participating partners for their view and input, and as long as it comes back where it's consistent with and everybody gives their blessing, then it's transmitted.
And the consistency is important for what? For why? Why is consistency important?
Largely with this event is because it's so dynamic. There is so much information coming out and it changes so frequently that all of the partners being on the same page, if you will, with messaging is very important so that we don't have conflicting messaging going out and further confusing the public.
And there is conflicting information that has come out.
At various times there has been, yes.
And it often is in a dynamic situation.
Correct.
All right.
Oh, yeah. One other comment. We in healthcare tend to use our own nomenclature and an awful lot of abbreviations of things. We really have to make sure that the public understands what we're saying. We can't assume that they know what some of the various things really mean. So making the message, I'm not saying that they're ignorant, but you know, that's just not what they do every day. So we have to make sure that it's just very, very clear what they can do to protect themselves.
I would agree with Bob on that because just in terms of the JIC, it helps to have, if we put out a message, it helps to have somebody who's really not as connected to that particular message to look at it first,
yeah.
So that what we think we're saying is what others are hearing.
It's a great idea.
And so it just kind of vets that a little bit in order to make sure that it's as understandable as it can be, and that what we're saying is, you know, it can be taken, sometimes things can be taken two ways, and somebody else in that JIC situation will catch that, so that the message that is actually going forth is clear and concise and accurate.
Sometimes it's difficult to understand some of those statements, and hand washing, stressing people not touching their face, using social distancing, which is a new term, which basically kind of leaves some space around you between you and other persons. If people cough and sneeze, they generate droplets within about a 3-foot space around them. So a social distance space would be 6 foot. So if you stay a little bit farther away from other people, you're less likely to be close to them if they expel droplets, if they cough or they sneeze. But people have to be careful what information they look at online and social media. There have been social media sites that have been dispensing bad information, or even products that could be used for treatment of COVID-19. And those are all false claims, and they've tried to make sure people understand. You have to be careful what you're looking at. That's why you have to use tried and true and understood organizations that are the Department of Health, the Center for Disease Control, and not just do a Google search for masks and come up with some information that's absolutely false.
Bob, could I add on to
yes.
that? I asked this morning for United Way 211 to activate calls coming from Marion County with people with questions. I just received confirmation that they have done that. Actually had turned that service on this morning, and they have already taken calls from our residents. So I just want to put that out there, that if there's a point in time where anybody has questions that they can't get answered for some reason locally, dial 211 and the operators there will be happy to take their calls and answer their questions.
So I can dial 211 right now and say I have a question about coronavirus.
That is correct.
And then Marion County, here at the health department, we've gotten a lot of questions already, and we are already using the 211 script, so to speak, so that we are, again, having the same message statewide, so when things change, it'll get updated, and so that way, if you call 211, you're getting the same answer as what you're getting if you call and talk to our receptionist.
And how many people in Knoxville or Pella, if you took 100 people, would know that day what 211 was?
It's pretty well known, but it's not.
My point is, I think you've got to keep educating on that a lot.
Correct.
I'm just
going to. I think it's a great source. I really do. But yeah, my whole point is that we have to keep repeating these basic fundamentals of really good hand washing technique. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know,
27.
Explaining that, how important that is. You know, I mean, things like that.
I'm just going to say I didn't know what 211 was. I try to keep up with this stuff, but I had no idea what you were talking about. So listeners, don't feel bad.
No.
Yeah. So use that 211, and then that'll they have the resources there, the information, and then so that'll take some of the pressure off of our hospital staff.
It's
and
an
public
excellent
health
source.
Staff.
It's just educating.
More after this. Welcome back to a KNIA Carol S. Special Edition News Magazine, preparing for COVID-19 in Marion County. I'm Bob Leonard. As we continue the program, joining me today are staff with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Pella Regional Health Center, and Marion County. Representing Knoxville Hospital and Clinics are Kevin Kincaid, CEO, Maggie Hamilton-Byer, CFO, Barb Anderson, Manager of Infection Prevention, Jan Myers, Chief Nursing Officer, and Holly Shin, Clinic Care Coordinator. Representing the Pella Regional Health Center are Bob Cruz, CEO, and Jen Widener, Infection Preventionist. For Marion County, Kim Dorn, Director of Public Health, Jeff Anderson, Emergency Management Coordinator, and Mark Ramey, Chair of the Board of Supervisors.
Bob, I'll go ahead and jump in here real quick. From a governmental perspective, for our elected officials, we're concerned about preparation, planning, communication. That's really what our role is from a public standpoint. Our confidence in our healthcare providers has never been higher. It is clear they are ready to meet the challenges that we are seeing with this extremely fluid situation. So having a dialogue at this level is extremely important. We have additionally met with our city leaders, and we'll continue to meet with our other city leaders throughout Marion County next week to ask about resource needs. Where are they at? Do they have continuation of government plans? We are putting those things in place in Marion County to ensure that in the event that this virus takes hold within Marion County, that we are ready to continue to have functioning government. So it is very important to continue to have consistent communication. That's been highlighted throughout the course of this conversation. The JIC is a great vehicle for that, to be able to utilize that. There will be a press release, as a matter of fact, that will be posted on that. When, Kim?
I had her send it out. Five minutes ago,
talking about the meeting that we had yesterday and starting that process. So, Bob, to your point, we want to make sure that our citizens get consistent, accurate information from reliable sources, and we have the people here in Marion County that are able to do that and do that effectively.
And when we think about the healthcare system that we have in Marion County, you know, one thing I think it's important to remember is that there's no way we could have predicted when and what virus was going to show up on our doorsteps. But all of us knew that it was quite likely to happen. So we're not surprised. We're not caught flat-footed. We listened to a podcast from the chief medical officer at the University of Iowa yesterday, and she said something that really resonated with us, and that's that the healthcare system doesn't fear this virus. We respect this virus, and it is what we do every day. We are prepared to tackle this, and we are going to do our very best to take care of the people in our county. And this, in a lot of ways, is different for us, but there's so much of it that's just business as usual. For instance, we've talked a lot about reporting and how information flows and who runs the lab tests and where do the results go. It's important for people to know that we are in no way disclosing your private information. All of your privacy is still very much protected in this COVID-19 outbreak. And we'll continue to do that. We have prepared for this for a long time, and we will react accordingly.
As you were saying that, I was just thinking, and you were saying we're familiar with this. I've had similar conversations with both Barb and Jen over the years about infections. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we've had these conversations. It's just a different time. So you've been preparing for this your entire medical careers.
Right.
Yes. All the time.
We've gone through disaster preparedness scenarios over the years, and we've investigated things that could, any type of number of things that could happen, including a contagion type situation, and evaluated what our processes need to be and how we would prepare. And so we work together on hospital levels, and between hospitals and our hospital and Pella Hospital, and at a county level, we've investigated these scenes all before. And so the processes that we're seeing in the news where the colleges are suspending classes and going to online things, those things are being done in an abundance of caution to try and reduce the spread of the virus. And so that is a normal sequence process.
And it's a fluid process that's changing hourly, as Kevin said, and the ongoing communication with public health has been very key, as well as with each other.
And this is all part of your training, too. You've been doing this.
Yes. nurses are prepared to deal with infectious disease every day. You have to anticipate that every patient has an infectious disease at every encounter. So nurses are trained from day one that you wash your hands before and after every single patient contact, no matter why they are here, what their purpose is in visiting our medical center. So that's unchanged. Personal protective gear is something that you learn in nursing school at the very beginning of that. So that is not new for us either.
I would agree with that. It's something, it's just a routine day for us.
All right.
And Maggie, I presume you've got something to say that I haven't thought of.
The biggest responsibility for any CFO right now is supply chain, to make sure you have everything you need in the form of gloves, masks, the materials you need for the PPE equipment to protect the employees and the patients.
The way you said that, you made me feel, I know, comfortable that you are taking this on as a major, I don't know, as a major effort. You are determined to make sure that people have what they need at the hospital.
Correct. Exactly.
Correct.
How wonderful.
From a county government perspective, but it's also true for our healthcare providers. And I think Kevin said this in his comments, we are on top of this issue. We are on top of this from a healthcare perspective. We are on top of this from a government policy and public health and emergency management perspective. Jeff and Kim are staying abreast of all the issues as they come in, and I'm certain our hospitals are doing the same thing. So it is an evolving, fluid situation, and we will get the best information to our residents when it becomes available, and we're confident in that information. That's something that I think when people think about our county, we are blessed to have healthcare providers like we have that help us from a government perspective be able to deal with this kind of a situation. We also have great professionals within county government that are ready to meet this challenge.
And you're working with other municipalities, other communities in the county to make sure everybody's on this, not just on the same page on that with respect to healthcare, but with respect to the entire issue, how the counties and cities are going to work together, et cetera, all on the same
absolutely.
Page.
Absolutely. We've started that communication channel. It is important for our cities within Marion County, our other residents in Marion County, to know that there is communication countywide. Jeff and Kim are obviously involved on almost a daily basis with our different areas of Marion County. Highly critical to this.
Barb?
This is a teamwork process. This is a challenge to our entire community. And so the community and all of these entities are working together for the rest of the people, for our family, our friends, and everybody in Marion County and the state of Iowa. And so this is not just a challenge to a person individually. This is a challenge to all of us in the room, and we are all working together on it. And so we're not standing in the street with our hair on fire. We've been challenged. And we're ready. We're up.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up here, and we're going to go around the room, and we're going to start here with Jen, and we're going to work our way around, and people can say what they want to say.
Just thank you for this opportunity that we can all come together and just, again, assure the public that we are abreast of the situation and continuing to do the safest thing possible for everyone involved.
And I think this symbolizes this. In this case, it's Knoxville and Pella working together, but all the hospitals in the state through our association collaborate very, very well and trying to help one another. This is, on things like this, we all come together for the greater good. And so this is a really good symbol of that type of collaboration that is really important. So.
The citizens of Marion County are in great hands. We have some wonderful healthcare providers and emergency management system in place. I don't feel that Marion County residents should worry at all about the care that they're going to provide should they present to either of our facilities.
Well, from a Marion County perspective, again, hard to add to what's already been said, but we are extremely confident in where we stand right now relative to the coronavirus. We are confident in the providers that we have. We are confident in the professionals we have in the county government. So I think our citizens are in very good hands.
I would be remiss if I didn't talk about what public health always talks about, and that is that we have great professional partnerships that we're working with, but in order to really contain this or tamp this down, It's going to require that individuals be diligent about being careful as well. And so frequently wash your hands for 20 seconds or more with soapy water. And if unavailable, use hand sanitizer, but hand sanitizer does not replace soap and water. So good hand washing is critical. Avoiding close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneezes with a tissue and then throw that tissue in the trash. And clean and disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces. And just be really, really cognizant of how those germs get spread. And if everybody makes a really concerted effort, that will be extraordinarily helpful for all of us.
I would say this time is a reminder of what a blessing it is to live in Marion County, the state of Iowa. At a single request, everybody around this table put down what they were doing, come together to do their very best to serve the folks in Marion County, and everybody's in good hands.
With that, we'll conclude a KNIA CareLess Special Edition News Magazine preparing for COVID-19 in Marion County. Thanks to the staff at the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, the Pella Regional Health Center, and Marion County. For KNIA CareLess, I'm Bob Leonard. The one to count on for today's news and information and COVID-19 updates is KNIA KRLS.